Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio today, Stephanie Allen. And she and people from United Way have been here before, but she has a special story to tell. I'm really looking forward to this. Welcome, Stephanie.
Good morning, Mike.
So you made a trip recently to a place some distance from Alaska.
Yes, I sure did. I had the distinct pleasure of going to Iceland in October with several people from the Matsu Valley and a couple of folks from Anchorage, actually.
So what would cause a person, a group, to in October go to Iceland?
Well, there was a very interesting article that was being circulated around. It was released earlier this year and has been quite the source of many discussions, not only in Alaska, but I think across the entire United States. But how Iceland has turned itself around with youth substance use, particularly alcohol.
Right.
So they went from back in the mid-90s, a youth drinking rate of youth self-reporting that they were getting drunk often of 46% down to, I believe, 5% now.
Whoa.
Over 20 years, but really had just shifted everything. Kids were downtown in Reykjavik, always being drunk and causing problems, I think, you know, with the stores, and adults didn't feel safe going out at night. And they decided that something needed to be done because of the situation. So, but it was really interesting. They did it in a way that brought the whole community together, and parents, and even like from a a system standpoint, where it's the government and the school system and even the healthcare industry, that everybody just said, you know what, we by far value kids, right? We care so much about kids. We are there for kids. So they really did some things to shape the way in which they not only operate, but kind of their values and their culture and their norm when it came to youth. Some of the things that they implemented, and now they don't see them as like programs or anything. It's just the norm, right? It's just the way it is.
A cultural shift.
Exactly, cultural shift. They did really emphasize with families in particular the time spent together. So, you know, when I was growing up, I always heard about quality time, right? You spend quality time with your family. And they really emphasized quantity and said, you know, it doesn't really matter what you're doing, but just spend time together.
Okay.
And
all right, that's a
that
shift.
Made a big shift. And then they realized that kids didn't have anything to do after school. And I think we see that here too. Kids, some kids are connected to after school activities, and you know, in Palmer we have the Yak, and there's the Boys and Girls Club as well, and kids are involved in sports. But it's not pervasive. And in Iceland, not only in Reykjavik, but the whole country. There's an after-school network, after-school centers, where it's the activities are youth-driven, so kids and teens are picking the things that they want to do. And they're also really connected to sports. And there's transportation provided everywhere. And families get a leisure card, which is $500 per family, or per child, actually, to go to sports. The after-school centers are at no cost to families. But the sports also do have a cost to those, and so they're provided some benefit and some help on the cost to be able to access sports and leisure activities.
Right. So how long were you there in Iceland?
I was there for almost a week.
Okay.
And the group had 3 days of intensive like meetings and presentations. I built on a couple days on the front end and then a day on the back end to check out Iceland.
Now, my understanding about Iceland is that there's Reykjavik, and then there's the rest of Iceland.
Well, I only got to see a small portion of it because it is, it would take a while to get all the way around the island. But have a chance to go on a couple tours and did a driving tour around the Golden Circle. And it's fascinating in that how they've really harnessed the geothermal power that's right there. I mean, every home and business is powered and heated by the geothermal water. It's really, you know, interesting to think how Alaska could harness that. I mean, I think Iceland has it closer to the surface. And so, but they've built a grid system of the hot water And then it's throughout the whole city and across the whole country, honestly.
So as you were traveling about and meeting a variety of people, I'm guessing you might have had a chance to actually listen to or interact with younger people.
You do? And,
I did, yeah. And what did they say? That's a curious thing to me.
For the after-school clubs, they were very excited about them because they picked out what they were doing, the activities and the things that that was the focus for the centers. They also kept referring to them as safe, which was interesting, that it's a safe place to go. They had young adults working there that they felt, you know, they weren't their teachers and their or their parents that they felt really connected to and that they could talk to.
Right.
And share, and kept saying it's a judgment-free place. I think that, you know, when Thrive just hosted a youth retreat last week with, we almost had 50 kids come out to Camp Maranatha, but they were saying, you know, similar things that the Iceland kids were saying too, is that I think that, adults judge kids a lot, or we have misperceptions about teens.
Stereotyping.
Exactly. We stereotype a lot. And so they, had expressed a lot of that too, that adults think that teens are lazy or not paying attention or, up to no good, don't have, you know, they wouldn't understand because they're young.
Sure.
I think we always say, oh, you wouldn't know, because, you know, you wouldn't, right. You wouldn't understand.
Right. Right. So you went with a group, and saw something which, and I think I read the original article that precipitated all of this, and I was struck by it as well. And the question that came to my mind had to do with, knowing a little bit about Iceland and the homogeneity of, of the population, and the focus, and wondering, I remember thinking, okay, what of what happened there can be translated and brought to the Valley? And I'm guessing that's something that you're thinking about or working on.
Yes, and there's a group of people that have come together, and actually we continue to meet. We met yesterday, that are pursuing this. So I think we were inspired and see a lot of potential for things that we can bring to the Mat-Su. Previously, Thrive, the coalition for, you know, that where we focus on youth and substance abuse prevention, had already identified the need for after-school activities and after-school networks, as well as having a stronger relationship, being more connected. I think it's something that not only kids but adults too, we struggle a little bit with how connected we are to one another socially, whether it's transportation, but really, you know, that we have a support system with one another. So yes, I think we have plans to move forward and develop after-school centers for kids. And I think we're going to tackle, try some innovative approaches and as far as transportation goes, so that people and kids can get to where they want to go and be able to participate, and also have access to sports and recreation and leisure activities. One of the things I didn't mention before that I think was integral into this, the Iceland approach, is that whoever it was, whether it was youth workers in the after-school centers or the coaches or, you know, folks even teaching cooking or sewing to kids, they all had to go through training to be a youth worker. Okay. And focus on, understand youth development and how the brain is developing, social emotional skills. I think it's very important and critical to, you know, how we move forward and implement, is that there's an understanding of youth in general, but also like the developmental stages of growth.
So were you able to get a sense of the funding stream? I'm thinking government monies funding, but I'm also I'm curious about the local control, if you will, or application. How did that work? Government money to local areas or
primarily the funding did come from the government in Iceland, and then it was distributed to the individual cities and like districts within the city itself. So that does pose, you know, something that's going to be a distinct difference here. Obviously, you know, the state of Alaska is not going to be funding these types of things. And so we're going to be looking at developing partners, you know, maybe sponsors, seeking out grant funding to be able to move forward. You know, through Thrive, we, as I had previously said, we had already identified the need for after-school opportunities and having kids. Another thing that's not associated with Iceland, but that we're hoping to kind of implement at the same time, is kids have asked for internships and apprenticeships and work shadowing. They want to get involved into the business community and learn skills, and not only life skills, but career skills too. And so we do have funding. We have some grant funding available and that we're hoping to leverage and to be able to increase the amount of funding that's available to be able to do this. The school system also is very interested in reinvigorating community schools. I don't know if you remember community schools.
Absolutely.
Yes. Who doesn't, right? Everybody remembers it very fondly. And so we're going to take this opportunity. The school district is a partner. Amy Spargo went on the trip as well to Iceland and to take the time. It's time to bring community schools back. So
And I'm hearing a description of the situation where, knowing that there are many nonprofits that are working, the schools do have some after-school programs. You have Big Brothers Big Sisters. You have Boys Girls Clubs. You have a variety of pieces, and each seemed to have, in the recent time, been able to catch a portion of it. But would you say that the organization that you're working with could provide the coordination and expansion and filling in the gaps? And I'm talking about Thrive, or is that what?
And Thrive is just one partner in this, I think, bigger project initiative.
Okay.
But yes, and I think that's one thing that Iceland, that was very, very prominent, no matter who we were talking to or what experience we were having, was that it was so integrated and coordinated that it was seamless. And so that is something that we're striving to achieve here, is that is the coordination piece of all the different offerings, but also recruiting caring adults, because that is a big piece of the puzzle and a big piece of what not only Iceland had, but what has resonated with our community health assessments and in our interviews with teens, is that they want to be connected to somebody that cares for them and supports them and can lift them up and can guide them and mentor them. And we need more adults involved in kids' lives. And that is a component of this initiative as well.
Okay. So Mike Malevsky, and I've been here talking with Stephanie Allen, United Way, who with others has recently traveled to Iceland to take a look at an innovative program that it appears over a period of some 20 years to have resulted in an incredible shift in an area that we've been working on, the abuse of alcohol and or drugs. You mentioned alcohol, and that was the reference you gave. I know we have faced what has been called an opioid crisis. Was there any discussion about drug use in Iceland?
Actually, the data project that they did and continue to do, they've shown significant decreases not only in alcohol. That was what the article really pointed out.
Right,
but,
exactly.
In tobacco and marijuana as well. They are seeing right now an increase in Iceland of antidepressants, and have a new issue, I think, that they're dealing with, which is anxiety. They did talk a lot about teens being having less self-confidence because of social media and the internet. And, and I think this is pervasive across the whole world, right?
Right.
Is this ideal of who we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to look like, or the images that we put out on our social media accounts of everybody's happy and everybody's perfect and those types of things. And I think, honestly, the stress of participating in sports and this very competitive type of culture that they've built, that kids are experiencing higher levels of anxiety. Now, you talked about, you know, what's going on here. We certainly, when it comes to youth, still alcohol is the number one used type of substances. But I will point out that most kids are not drinking, and we've been really making a push on talking about positive norms.
Okay.
We do have a distinct focus, I think, as it's human nature to point out the negative, right?
Okay.
And to kind of have a negative focus. But if kids are using either drugs or alcohol, alcohol is number one, followed by marijuana, tobacco, and then some kids are using prescription opioids, or misusing, I should say. And there is, you know, small amounts of heroin and cocaine and meth in there too, but it is minimal. But honestly, any youth or teen that is drinking or doing drugs, you know, it's not a good thing, right? So there's lots of risks associated with that. They're still growing and developing, and you know, the effects that specifically opioids can have on your brain, and you know, the relationship between opioids to heroin is very strong with addiction. So you know, we're doing a lot, and you know, obviously the opioid task force is working to try to reduce social access to opioids, to talk about the risks more, you know, for adults that have them in the household, to make sure that they're monitoring them and storing them safely, disposing of opioids safely. And it's not just a youth issue, obviously. It crosses all ages, that particular issue.
So I'm thinking, Stephanie, that some listener might say, oh, okay, this is interesting. This is something I'd like to be supportive of or involved in. What's the best pathway for...
Yes, if you'd like to get involved or learn more, honestly, please give me a call, United Way, at 745-5821. Feel free to give any of us a call at United Way of Mat-Su. We'd love to be able to talk to you, and however you want to get involved, we can use all the help that we can get. And honestly, it takes all of us, right? And that's kind of the spirit of Live United, if you will, that we can all do something. We're all part of the puzzle. We can all work together to make our community stronger and healthier and safer.
So just to remind and somewhat sum up, United Way is involved, but United Way isn't in charge of this effort. Is that correct? Or is there a body, even a...
For the Iceland effort?
Yeah.
The Iceland and Alaska?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. I've valued what you have said, and I'm thinking, okay, so this is an idea where a number of different groups have said, yes, this is good. How does this get moved forward and into, if you will, some form of implementation phase? Is it a subtle? Is it done individually? Is it... how does it get coordinated?
Well, we're hoping, honestly, we're applying for a Robert Woods Johnson Foundation grant that is due in 2 weeks. We've been meeting around in preparation for that. If we are successful with that, we'll have funding next year. And so I think we'll be planning all along the way for implementation. Partners in the Iceland initiative and the folks that went on the trip, certainly the partners, I think, were back here are greater than the folks that that went on the trip. But the school districts involved, Mat-Su Health Foundation is the lead and had coordinated the trip. Dr. Melissa Kimberling had set up all the appointments with all the researchers and with the different entities within Reykjavik and surrounding Iceland, with help from fellow researchers that were involved in the project too. Chicoloon Tribe and the Alaska After School Network. There's a whole bunch of people, and I know I'm forgetting everybody that was involved. Recover Alaska. So United Way is, we have served as staff for the past 10 years for Thrive.
Okay.
We're not only staff, but we're the ones that coordinate and direct and keep Thrive going, if you will. It is a community-based coalition, though. It's not certainly just not us. It's made up of all kinds of different folks from many sectors. It's a cross-sector collaborative.
Okay. Well, I'm impressed. I had filed away that article, and when I saw that you had gone, I said, well, great, following up on this, because Iceland has in many ways reinvented itself. Because they had gone through a economic crisis, a severe one, and bounced back. And I think given this description that, and also their financial recovery, gives hope as we look at Alaska's own economic situation, saying, yes, you can do this.
Definitely.
It can do this, both financially and also culturally, in terms of encouraging people to live to their potential. Yeah,
definitely. We're a strong, resilient community and state. So yes, we will bounce back as well.
Okay. Mike Malevsky here. I'm thanking Stephanie Allen from United Way for coming in and describing an intriguing experience going to Iceland, and also a look toward the future. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you, Mike.